for you today is a little bit different than just a straight-up sermon. It's a story, a historical story. I did a lot of research on what it was like to be a leper in the day of Christ, and I invented a guy. His name is Ben, and his life, he is fictional, but his life would not have been. So this is kind of a historical fiction and a sermon all in one. His name was Ben Barjudan. He was a member of a leper colony around the year 33 AD. He had entered into his 20th decade when he noticed some patchy skin, some red bumps. These were among the first signs of leprosy, which was a general term for incurable skin diseases. People around the known world were scared to death of leprosy because it was super contagious, and it carried with it a death sentence. People in Asia were so worried about leprosy that they buried dead lepers standing straight up with their heads out of the dirt. You didn't want their heads in the dirt to infect the soil. And then, after they buried them with their heads sticking up out of the dirt, they put a pot on top of their head. The idea was the pot on the person's head would stop the disease from spreading. The ancient disease could also strike inanimate objects like a person's house or their clothing. Leprosy in the house or on the clothing looked like mold or mildew. Leprosy on your possessions was thought to be a sign that God was angry. If it was in your house would have to be quarantined and cleaned. But if the mildew and mold persisted, your house would have to be destroyed. If it was on your clothing, it would be burned immediately. Most diseases stay within a single species, but others, like rabies and the flu, jump between animals and humans. Leprosy was thought to only affect humans, but it has been found that armadillos carry the leprosy virus. 20% of wild armadillos carry leprosy. Eating infected armadillos can give a person leprosy. Question: who eats armadillos? Answer: lots of people who live in warm desert areas, and I hear it tastes like chicken. Leprosy matures slowly within the body. Symptoms might take as long as 10 years to manifest. Now, a leper's flesh doesn't rot and fall off like people think. Sores on the skin is what defines the disease. These sores can be very faint, more like a discoloration of the skin. Numbing is also a trademark of this disease. Numb areas, along with enlarged nerves, remove sensation and lead to a host of other problems. We rely on sensation, specifically pain, to tell us when we're hurting ourselves. That might seem obvious, but if we don't have feeling, we can burn or cut ourselves very badly. As the disease advances, it is not uncommon for people to lose fingers, toes, and noses due to accidents. Let's say they're cutting carrots and they accidentally miss the carrot and cut their finger. They'll cut it right off and not feel it. Ben knew all of these facts. They had been drilled into his head from the time he could understand language, because everybody in his world was on the lookout for this dreaded disease. Have an itch? Might be leprosy. Have teenaged acne? Ooh, might be leprosy. Ben's mom was constantly monitoring him and his brothers and sisters. When the sores first appeared, Ben waited for a long time to reveal his secret, but fearing for the rest of his family, Ben finally showed the sores to his mother. She paled and gasped, "Chushla lahersa, hasten, help us, Lord." Then Ben's mother whispered, "My son, make sure to hide your arms in your robes." It was kind of surprising that she didn't kick him out of the house immediately, like she'd always warned her children she would. Every other mother in ancient Israel would have. Ben's mother didn't have the heart to kick him out because Ben was her oldest son. Oldest sons were the crown princes, the heir to the family's wealth. They were the ones who would carry the family's name into the future. So you can't really blame Ben's mother for wanting to hide Ben's illness. But she knew the day would come when she would lose Ben forever. She also knew her husband would be very angry with her over the secret. Ben and her would pay a high price. Honestly, you can't hide leprosy for that long. One night at the evening meal, Ben reached for the rice, and his brother saw the sores on his arm. And his brother yelled, "Father, Father, Ben's got it. I saw it." "Let me see your arm, Ben," Ben's father demanded. Ben slowly stretched his arm out to his father. Ben's father quickly covered his mouth and nose to try to prevent further exposure and ordered the rest of the family out of the room. Ben's father wasn't as soft as his mother. He had no hesitation about kicking Ben out of the house. He told Ben, "You need to show yourself immediately to the priest and don't come back until you are declared clean." The thing about leprosy was, it was the only disease you didn't go to the doctor for. In fact, doctors refused to see you. They were just as afraid of the disease as everybody else. The only person who would and could see you was a man of God. Priests were under the Lord's protection. Ben knocked at the door of the temple and said, "I have some suspicious sores on my arm. The law states that I must show myself to you." The priest quickly motioned him to follow him to the back courtyard. No need to take a chance on exposing the worshipers by letting Ben inside of the temple. The priest looked to see if the hair on the sore had turned white. The sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body. The priest was unsure at this point if it was leprosy or not, so he gave Ben ointments and mixtures of herbs and oils to be applied to his skin. And then he ordered Ben to observe a 7-day quarantine, telling him he had to stay away from everyone, and he meant everyone. Ben was instructed to come back and see him after the quarantine was over. The priest really didn't have high hopes because curing leprosy was as difficult as raising the dead. The last person to raise someone from the dead was Elijah, and that was centuries ago. Ben returned 7 days later, and his heart sank as the priest officially diagnosed him with leprosy. The priest said, "I declare Ben Bar-Judan unclean. It is a leprous disease." This meant that Ben could no longer live with his family or even in the village in which he was born. Worse yet, Ben was betrothed to a local village girl. The engagement would now be broken off, and she would go to another. He would never father children. Being declared a leper was a certain death sentence. Ben was immediately banned from society, where he would live the rest of his life as an outcast until he died. He took the few belongings his mother threw out into the courtyard and headed for the outskirts of town where the rest of the lepers lived. It was a dusty shanty town of sorts with makeshift tents. He would live there waiting to die, which could take years and years. And that might be the worst of it, that slow death. As Ben was trying to figure out what he was going to do next, 9 other lepers from the camp came to welcome him. This surprised Ben because they were Jews and he was a Samaritan. Everybody and their grandmother knew the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were not purebred. They were only one half Jew and one half Gentile. And they weren't just any run-of-the-mill Gentile. That would have been bad enough. But their Gentile DNA came from the people who the Israelites hated the most, the Assyrians. Today, Samaria is on the northern West Bank. Several hundred Samaritans still live in Israel and continue to practice their faith. It is centered on the Pentateuch and Mount Gerizim. This is also another sticking point between the Samaritans and the Jews, because the Jews practice their faith based on the Torah and Jerusalem. The Samaritans are a tough people who survived through the time of Christ until this present day. There's nothing like a common hardship to turn enemies into friends, and that's what happened to Ben and the other 9 lepers. The leprosy broke down the barriers that had once made them hate each other. They decided they would form a brotherhood and stick together, and Ben found comfort in their companionship. At the outcast camp, Ben and his friends heard horrific stories about how people had tried to cure leprosy. One story they heard was about a mother who had a son who had fallen prey to the disease. Before that, he had been a big, strong boy. She had done everything she could think of to treat her son, but it was all in vain. She purposefully conceived another baby in order to offer it as a sacrifice for her son. But even after she sacrificed her newborn baby, her son did not get well. So she lost both of her children, and in the end, she got leprosy too. In despair, the woman tore her dress, shouted loudly, and pulled her hair out. It was impossible to console her. People in the camp kept their distance. This kind of grief is unnerving. In order to keep from starving, Ben and his 9 friends were reduced to begging on the streets. This was tricky because they were unclean and they had to keep their distance from others. People would throw scraps of food at them as if they were dogs. From time to time, Ben would see his family and his fiancée on the streets as he begged. The first time he saw them, he raised his hand in a tentative wave, but they turned their faces against him. His heart broke in a million pieces, so he never again acted like he knew them. As they traveled the stony roads, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." This was done to warn people away from them. Sometimes lepers rang bells to warn people they were coming. Many of them lost their voices because of the disease, so ringing bells warned people. Some towns actually got so annoyed with all the lepers ringing these bells that they banned the ringing because of the racket it caused. One day, the 10 men heard there might be some hope. A holy man named Jesus had actually been healing many people, including people with leprosy. They heard on the way to Jerusalem, he would be passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Without doing anything medically to treat them, Jesus merely gave them the instruction, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." When Jesus instructed them to appear before the priest, they were still lepers. No physical change had taken place, but in faith, the men obeyed. As they began to walk to the priest, they were healed. Jesus always required faith on the part of the person who was asking for healing. They didn't walk very long before they were healed. But only Ben returned to thank Jesus for the healing, despite being a Samaritan, a person who is despised by the Jews, who, by the way, Jesus was a Jew. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked Ben, "Where are the other 9? Weren't they grateful for their healing?" Jesus didn't take back their healing, but he noted their lack of gratitude. Jesus said, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Question: why didn't Ben rush off to see the priest along with the other guys? Answer: he couldn't. He was a Samaritan near Jerusalem, where there were only Jewish priests. The Samaritans were not welcome in the temple of the Jewish priests. The Samaritans had their own priests in their own territory, in their own temples, and the Jews had theirs. There was no crossing over. Like, here, we can go to whatever church we like. If you're a Samaritan, you could not. And the Jewish priests would have refused to see Ben. Ben had no choice but to return to Jesus to be pronounced clean, and he had to be pronounced clean in order to enter society again. Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." If Jesus said you were clean, then you were. You didn't need a priest. Most people in the ancient world responded with some of the most inhumane actions ever perpetrated in the name of God toward lepers. People who were merely presumed to be infected were declared unclean and cast out. They were forced to carry bells and clappers to warn off anyone who was approaching. Sometimes they were forced to attend their own funerals, where they were declared dead before being shunned from their society. These poor people were blamed for getting sick because leprosy was widely viewed as a punishment for a hidden sin. However, Jesus showed compassion on lepers, and after he was seen touching them, his followers began to respond to leprosy much differently. They became more charitable. They opened lazar houses to serve them. Leprosy was regarded as the disease of Lazarus in Jesus' parable in Luke 16. Caring for lepers became a Christian practice, and it still is today, because of the example of Jesus. Jesus' example changed a lot of things for the good. The end of Ben's story is not known. It is not known whether or not his family embraced him after he was healed. It is not known if anyone would hire him again. It is not known if any woman would ever agree to marry him. Once you were declared a leper, even if you recovered, you were always seen as a leper. Perhaps neither the beginning or the end is the important part of Ben's story. Perhaps the important part is the middle, the part where he met Jesus and found healing. Ben, more so than his 9 companions, understood what he was being given. He understood more than his companions that he was being given healing, and it was profound. He was the only one who returned to thank God for the good thing that had happened to him. In one way or another, we have all been healed by Jesus, if not in body, then in soul. If not in this life, then in the life to come. Let us all make sure that we are like Ben and we return to the Lord and thank him for what he has done for us.